You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the MLB Extras D-backs podcast. Tim McMaster here along with Steve Gilbert, our D-backs reporter. And Steve, my first time this offseason hosting the new D-backs podcast. I'll be with you the rest of the way, though, hopefully. So not a lot of etched in stone stuff to get to on the podcast this week, but certainly plenty of rumors and some stuff going on. We'll talk about the qualifying offers to Patrick Corbin and AJ Pollock, which have been turned down, what that means. And just a lot on maybe the direction of this franchise right now, because it seems like maybe not a major crossroads, but some sort of a crossroads the D-backs are at right now. So that brings us to our first topic, which is something that has kind of gained some steam over the last few days, and that is the possibility of trading Zach Greinke. Obviously, Zach Greinke is a guy that's making a lot of money per year, and that contract doesn't necessarily look tradable unless you can do something with it, but there's some smoke here. So are there some flames to go with this smoke with Zach Greinke?
Well, Tim, you know, I think they investigated that last year at the winter meetings as well, simply because, as you mentioned, there's a lot of money at stake here. We're talking, you know, roughly $104, $105 million still left on that deal over the next 3 years. Certainly, if the Diamondbacks could move some of that money, that could free up other possibilities for them in terms of, you know, maybe adding two players instead of just having Greinke. So I think that's something that last year started to kind of seep into what their thinking was. And it would not surprise me right now to know that they're out there kind of talking to people about Zach Greinke possibly, and just seeing what the market, how much of that $105, $104 million they'd have to pick up in a deal, and what kind of return they could get, and is it a return that would keep them somewhat competitive going forward next year?
Feels like it's one of those situations where it's kind of a sliding scale, right? The more money you're able to pick up as the D-backs from that contract, maybe the better return as far as prospects you could get, or if you really want to not pick up much money, you're not going to get that much of a return of prospects. And it's finding that happy place, I guess, that makes both parties that are involved feel good about it.
Exactly. And I feel like Mike Hazen is in a room right now, and there's four or five dominoes in front of him. And when he hits one, it starts a domino chain in one direction. He hits another, it goes a different direction. And there's a whole bunch of different, you know, if they decide that the Greinke thing, it's like, as you mentioned, the sliding scale with regards to prospects and money. Do they feel then if they saved more money and took back less prospects that then they could spend that money in a free agent market and get some better value that way? Or do they feel like the prospects they would get would be better, and so then they would pick up more money and that would take them in a different direction? So they're an intriguing team to watch this offseason, because there's just so many different directions that they can go in.
Yeah, I guess that's the crossroads I was kind of getting to, right? I mean, you can try to reload, or you can try to take a step back and rebuild a little bit. And that kind of, let's bring that over to Patrick Corbin and AJ Pollock. You look at Corbin, and he's the guy as far as starting pitching goes on the market this winter. And I would think that quickly takes him kind of out of any possibility of returning to Arizona. How about Pollock? I mean, is there any chance Pollock could come back to the D-backs, or are both those guys considered gone through free agency at this point?
Yeah, I think, as you said, certainly Corbin is gone because he is the best guy out there on the market, and is going to get a huge contract, and deservedly so for him. With AJ, I think it'll be a little bit more interesting to watch. I was kind of curious as to whether or not he would turn down a qualifying offer. Certainly, I knew that Corbin would turn down his. I wasn't sure about Pollock, just given his, you know, injury history and kind of the way his season went last year. And I guess it's certainly possible that if the market is as slow as it was last offseason, and maybe some teams are hesitant to give him the deal that maybe he might be looking for, that maybe he still comes back to Arizona on either a multi-year deal or a short-term deal. I don't know if that's likely, but I think it's certainly something that is a possibility.
If you're looking at the team right now and kind of setting up for what's going to happen, In your gut, Steve, do you kind of feel like this team is going to do its best to reload, or do they see this as a time where, you know what, let's get younger, let's back things off, and let's make another go at this in maybe a couple of years?
I think they're going to try to strike a balance between those two, and I think they'll probably take a little bit of a step back, trying not. I don't think they'll go the kind of route of a stripped down total rebuild. I'm not sure this is the market for that to take place. But I definitely think that given the way the roster seems at the moment, and their financial situation and the money they already have committed, it would seem to me that maybe they get a little bit younger and kind of hope that maybe that leads them to still be somewhat competitive this next year, but also kind of, you know, waiting for some of their prospects in the system to come up a year or two later.
And obviously the other big player in all of this is Paul Goldschmidt. They pick up the option on him, but there's that 1 year to go, and then he could be a free agent. And then you're talking about pretty much the star power is gone at that point if Goldschmidt leaves through free agency. So how much is that a part of all of this, and how they handle the final year of Paul Goldschmidt in Arizona if they start listening on him?
Yeah, you know, I think, Tim, that's something that's been big this offseason, is that they've always said in the past that they wouldn't even listen on Paul Goldschmidt. And this year they've, you know, made it pretty clear that they would listen on Paul Goldschmidt. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to trade him, but if they are going to get younger, if they are going to take a little bit of a step back, maybe they could get a decent prospect package for him. I think you don't get as much as some people might think you will, simply because he only has 1 year of control left. But certainly he would bring you back something. I guess the question for them and what they're trying to figure out, and what they tried to figure out during the GM meetings and talking with other GMs, is what exactly or what inner ballpark could they get for him? And does that justify, you know, giving him up as opposed to, you know, playing out the string with him and offering, making him a qualifying offer and seeing what happens in the future?
And then obviously, I mean, as you can listen in on him now and start conversations, then once you're into the 2019 season, you can obviously see how the year goes and whether or not you're in contention. And then I would think come trade deadline, we're going to start talking about all of this again, right? If he's still there and the D-backs aren't competing, then there's even more pressure to get more than just that pick. Because I think some people are still kind of figuring out here a couple years into this new collective bargaining agreement that these picks aren't what they used to be. I mean, it used to be that end of the first round pick, and there was some value in holding on to a guy, a big guy, and letting him kind of go and sign free agency. Now those picks kind of drift back end of the second round or even later, that it makes trading a guy at that trade deadline seem like a better move a lot of times.
Yeah, it certainly can, depending on what they get back for him. So this is like a conversation, like you said, that I have a feeling we'll be having time and time again over the next calendar year. But another thing, you know, people have asked about extending Paul Goldschmidt. I have to believe that with as bright as this regime is with Mike Hazen and his staff, really sharp guys, that they would have already had an idea of what it would take to extend Paul Goldschmidt, either through conversations with him or his agent. And I know that Goldie is very private about that stuff and doesn't talk about his contract at all. And so the club kind of follows his lead. So we have no idea of whether or not they've talked, but I have to imagine that they do have an idea what it would take to extend him. And the fact that they haven't at this point makes you wonder if they know that they can't do that.
One of the things with Goldschmidt, Steve, is that he's such a big part of not just this team and this franchise, but the area as well in Phoenix. And he's such a, I guess, off and on the field, such a big part of everything. And that brings us to just today being announced that Goldschmidt being recognized as a finalist for the Marvin Miller Man of the Year Award. Three players up for that: Goldschmidt, along with Curtis Granderson and Mike Trout. And it's an award that goes to not what he's done on the field, but the stuff he's done off the field in the Phoenix area. Can you speak to that a little bit and just what he's meant in the community?
Yeah, he and his wife, Amy, you know, have made their home here in the Valley and really got heavily involved with Phoenix Children's Hospital, going and making visits and raising a lot of money for the Children's Hospital. through various events and things that he's held. He does an annual bowling event, and they do things at the ballpark to raise money for it as well. He's also funded scholarships at the University of Phoenix here. So they've become pretty important parts of the community. And you know, he's obviously one of those guys that represents the organization well off the field as well as on it. You never hear about any, you know, problems involving him or anything like that. So, and he's always been willing to get out there and make appearances and do things for the organization. So certainly that's why trading him, I think, is more than there's more to it than just simply looking at it and saying we can get X back for him. There's also that other factor to take in mind, and what a big part of the organization and you know, community and fan base that he is, and what the fans' reaction would be.
It's going to be a fascinating offseason for this franchise. It's big name players that we're talking about, and we're going to continue to talk about Goldschmidt and Greinke, and can they bring back Pollock and all of that stuff, as we'll see which way they go, take a left or a right down that crossroads and see where this franchise is headed into 2019. That's going to do it for this edition of the MLB Extras D-backs podcast. For Steve Gilbert, I'm Tim McMaster. We'll talk to you next time.